The Centre for Stories is a place where stories are told, shared, and kept. Roaring 90s is a collection of stories from our elders. This series of stories features the memories of yesteryear, accounts of war, racism, technological triumph, assimilation, and social change. These storytellers have lived long lives and plan to live many more. Experience makes us wise, and we should take time to listen. Michael Talakis is 96. He shares the amazing story of his journey from Greece to Australia and the outpouring love from his mother and community to get him there.
My name is Michael Talakis. I was born in 1921. I arrived on an Italian boat named Viminale on the 8th of February 1938. On the island that I was living with my parents and the rest of the family, they only had primary schools. At that time, my mother had an uncle and auntie in Athens with a plenty of high schools. And he asked my mother if I'd like to go there and study at high school level. So I did. But they were very old. Actually, I only stayed there 3 years. I did 3 classes of high schooling. I had 2 brothers who were, well, I wasn't born when they died, you know. Now, my father came with his eldest son who died in Porphyry. What was the name of the sickness?
The Spanish flu.
Spanish flu. He died there, a 17, 18-year-old boy.
Mm.
And he was disgusted. Got on the boat, he went back to Greece. He goes there. He had another son who was 6 years old. And he died with the other...
The plague.
The plague. He died too. And when we grew up, we used to go and see him at the cemetery. You know, full of sadness. And the recent years came. And my sister was already in Kalgoorlie, in Boulder. They decided to send me back to Australia.
After the death of 2 sons, Michael's mother decided to give him the best chance at life. Michael was sent off to Australia.
My sister, one of my sisters, there was a, what's her name, an arranged marriage of my sister. Parents and the family decided to send me to Australia. The whole family was sad, but I did go. I did come.
Why do you think they were sad, Dad?
Well, because of 2 sons they had. There was another 4 girls in the family, 2 boys and 4 girls. The girls survived, there's no Karakata.
We asked him to reflect on his journey to Australia and his experiences living on a new land.
Paul, my brother-in-law was Paul, he was a tailor. He said, Michael, you might as well take an apprenticeship in tailoring. I didn't want to go anywhere else to be a, but then he made apprenticeship. So I decided that I'd stay with him. And he told me, before you start, you've got to pay a shilling. Money was very, very expensive then. You know how much I got? 12 and 6 a week. But it was good money then. Anyway, I stayed with him. At one stage, it was a bit quiet. Now, I'll bring you the dark side of my talk. Paul, he asked me if they can put me onto another tailor that has plenty of work because he was quiet and he could afford the 12 and 6 a week, you see. So we did that. I went to the workers' hall for a meeting and I told the fella, who I wouldn't say his name because it's got family, you know? I don't want to say it, but I told him that I'm looking for a job for 2-3 weeks until it picks up. this was his answer. He said, I don't know whether I'll be able to give you a job. I think I'd get you a job. But even if we did, I wouldn't give it to you because you're not an Australian. Now, this is the things in my life that I don't like, because I love Australia, I love Australians, and it's hard for me to express these things.
Michael loves Australia, but he has experienced some hard times. We asked Michael to reflect on some of the difficulties in adjusting to Australian life.
So, Boulder Square, there's an hotel, a commercial bank. Next to commercial bank was my brother-in-law's tailor shop. We saw a lot of people coming out of the pub, and they were hitting someone. And I said, Paul, what's going on? He says, they hate the foreigners. He was a foreigner, I might have been Italian, a Slav, I don't know. But then again, I don't know if he did anything wrong in the pub. What they did to him was disgusting. But then again, I didn't know the other side. Mm. But, to be fair.
But it's also 1938, 4 years after the Eureka stockade, the riots in Kalgoorlie.
I wasn't there.
There's still a lot of...
Yeah, there was about a few days after.
Conflict.
2-3 weeks after the riots in Kalgoorlie. Mm. I came just after that. My mother, she went around some ladies that they had some of the... What's this here?
Silver.
Silver. They had quite a bit of silver in different things. Bit by bit, bit by bit. We knew the jeweler and he made a cross, this cross. And my mother, she'll collect some silver to make a cross in memory to help me, to bless me with the cross so I can survive longer than the others.
So it's for protection.
For protection, yeah.
Michael took the cross with him everywhere. He even brought it with him in the army.
Yeah, when I was in the army, I put it with me. Yeah, well, I was only in Australia a few months and they called me the army. Now, even today, I don't know why they called me up, because I was not an Australian. But I think the Greek government might have had something to do with it.
So you went into the army and you carried that with you?
Yeah.
His kit bag.
In my kit bag. You know, the one, yeah.
And it kept you safe.
That was, my kit bag was my pillow.
That was it. It kept you safe.
But actually, we're very lucky to have had America on our side. But even today, I mean, the British, they sent 2 boats. The next day, they came to Australia. They went to take Japan, and they were both sunk.
We asked Michael to tell us about how he met his wife.
Now, there's a Greek church around the corner here. I think that was up. Was up.
There was a hall.
But there was a hall next door, a small hall, and they used to run dances. So, if we happened to be on leave, we used to go to the dance and dance with the Greek kids. We used to go there. And I don't know if you knew Canadian Bandits, have you ever heard of it? Canadian Bandits, that's the dance that you go around changing partners.
Flotation.
They call it Canadian Bandits. And we used to change, you know, a lot of fun. And I saw this girl, my wife, and I asked another chap that I knew there, who's that girl? And he says to me, don't you know her? She says, you went to school with her brother. Her brother was Nick Simeon, and she was Lola Simeon, or Cristalli. You know. And And one day I popped a question. And that was it. My mother, my sister, they were all happy. There was a song in Greek about green eyes. And she had green eyes. So that was an attraction. Yes. But she was a beautiful looking woman. We got married in 1948.
Yes.
She's a beautiful mother and a beautiful wife. The more I see her, the older she gets, I love her more.
Michael shared his tips on a long, happy life.
I think for long life, well, on the island, where every change of good exercises, we did do gymnastics. We had the water next to us, swimming every day.
Swimming exercise.
Yeah. I tell you honestly, we didn't have enough money to buy too much meat.
Ah.
How's that?
Yeah.
We ate a lot of...
Costa.
No.
Greens.
Osprey.
Legumes.
We ate a lot of legumes.
Beans.
And they reckon the legumes are just as good in your diet as, if not better than meat.
Mm. 16 yeah.
But it did me good for the rest of my life. When I come out of the army, I didn't want to go and live with my sister or my relative. I wanted to build my own home.
Yeah, so you married young, eh, Dad? 26?
Well,
27
I was.
27, yeah.
Wow. I guess that was what they did those days. Yeah.
But I can never thank Australia enough for what they showed, they gave us. They opened up their arms and put us in. Some people were, well, ignorant, and they always had a go at us, but there's a hell of a lot of good people.
Thank you for listening. We hope this series encourages you to record the stories of your elders. If you would like to find out more or to make a donation, head to centreforstories.com. This recording was completed in 2018.